Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. This is Hercules Invictus, and today on Temple of the Muses, I'm proud to bring you The Creative Process with Nick Curto. Nick is broadcasting live from Cleopatra's Needle in Central Park, and Michael is, of course, in sunny California. Greetings and welcome, Nick and Michael. How are you?
Great to be here. And I wish you guys were, and the audience was here with me in Central Park. I'm at Cleopatra's Needle, which is a huge obelisk that was originally created in Egypt, and it was brought over here on a ship many, many years ago and erected in Central Park right behind the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's on a small hill.
Wow. Fantastic.
And it's gorgeous. I wish you could be here to see it. It's really something, and it's got the hieroglyphics, of course, on all four sides of Cleopatra's Needle, and it's really something to see.
That's tremendous.
In our mind's eye, we will be there.
Yeah, right.
And the thing that's interesting is because of the severe weather here, which is even more severe than where it was originally erected in Egypt, two sides of the obelisk are starting to wear thin, and you can't see the hieroglyphics as well on the south and the west side of the four-sided obelisk. On the north and on the east side of the obelisk, the hieroglyphics are quite striking, and you can read them. You can see them quite clearly.
Wow. Tremendous.
But it really is breathtaking, and it's surrounded by lanterns, so like lampposts. So in a circle, which I'm sitting on a bench, on a very large circle surrounding the obelisk, and it's breathtaking. And I didn't expect to see all these little fireflies just putting out their light all over the place, in front of me and back of me and both sides of me. They're all here displaying their little lights. It's really quite something. And we have a three-quarter beautiful moon I'm looking at, and that's kind of on the north-south side. A three-quarter beautiful, bright, bright moon, and the sky is fairly clear, a couple of tiny clouds, and in about an hour it will be totally pitch black. The sky will be totally black, hopefully with some stars.
Wow.
That sounds
fantastic.
Magical, Nick.
And the other reason we're here tonight at Cleopatra's Needle is that at 10 o'clock after the program, we're going to get together and we're going to do a contact a UFO and ETs. We have a meditation to do, and each individual is going to do a verbal meditation, and then we're going to send our energy up and see if we can contact a UFO. We did this a number of years ago, and we actually did make a visual contact with a UFO that flew directly over us.
Well,
wow.
There you go. What a place
and
to do
really
it at Cleopatra's Needle.
Right, and to actually be here, and one of the members of my group about 10 o'clock at night screams, "Oh, my God, turn around, everybody, and look up." And we see these three white lights. First of all, they look like white stars, only these three white lights were moving very slowly towards the Central Park area. And we were transfixed, and slowly it comes over our heads. And here's what happened. It literally stopped. And so we knew it was one craft as opposed to three separate craft, because when it went past a star, it blocked out the star, which means that it was one solid triangle object that was flying. No sound, no wind, nothing. It stops over our heads for about maybe 20 seconds. Nobody could speak. And then it continued on its route all the way to the horizon. And my group was absolutely speechless. It was like, oh, my God, we tried to get through this, and we actually succeeded.
Wow, look at that.
It was amazing. Now, we had about maybe 15 eyewitnesses, but when we went to see the radio and television reports, nobody in Manhattan or anywhere in New York City saw what we saw. So that's really kind of an interesting point, is what was that all about? Why would we see this? We were seeking it, and we saw it, but apparently nobody else reported it. So how does that make any sense unless the UFO had had cloaked itself some way, but
wow.
It definitely knew we were here because it stopped over our heads. So if I wasn't here to see it myself, but it did happen. And so we had eyewitnesses, and it was one of the high points, certainly of my life, to be able to see a UFO as we did a contact meditation.
Wow.
That's neat. Wow. Hey, Nick, that's pretty amazing. You know, we're probably going to be watching Alex and myself and maybe Diane. We'll probably be watching an episode of Project Blue Book, which was a series that they made around, I don't know, maybe it was like the early 2000s, I guess. But
right.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Project Blue Book.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So we'll be watching that because we're really interested in the UFO sightings. And, of course, Project Blue Book, was created by the Air Force in the 1950s, I believe, to try and disprove, to the public, to try and put out to the public by way of the military that, they were all hoaxes, so people really didn't get into it, and that's
yep.
kind of where we get the idea of conspiracy and conspiracy theory. But
that's right.
But there were a lot of things that, thanks, Alex, there were a lot of things that Professor Hynek, it was Alan J. Hynek, was working, I guess he was at the University of Ohio, or I believe, but he was working with the military on this, and he was finding that a lot of it was true, and they couldn't cover it up, and, there was a lot of controversy there, so it's
absolutely true. Now, there's a lot of cover-up still going on. Like I would say 99.9 is still covered up. But mm-hmm. I think that as we get on, we're going to be getting more revelations as we go. And this can't be hit. It's too big. So my group is looking forward and actually working to help get the disclosure out to people, because it's mm-hmm. it's certainly one of the most important stories ever.
Yeah.
And here we are. On the brink of amazing, amazing revelations and discovery, and the cover-ups are disappearing gradually, and
that's
I think that the actual
good.
Public will be the one to drive it even further.
Because
it's a very exciting time to be living.
Oh, it is. It is. And Nick, you study the Urantia book. You've been a leader you still are a leader in the organization in Urantia Book Fellowship, and of course I have also with UBLA, UBLA. We study the Urantia Book, and we know that there are millions and millions and millions of planets. There are in local systems, local universes, super universes, Havona. I mean, there's so many planets, spheres, systems teeming with life that I'm sure are much more advanced than this Earth and traveling around and visiting. Even in the Urantia book it says, Michael of Nebadon visits the Earth. Laniforge visits the Earth. We have a seraphic core, and we have an archangel's, headquarters, right near our planet. I mean, so it's hard to believe that nothing could be going on around us. You know what I mean?
I think, Michael, as time goes on, I think the Urantia book is going to get a lot more readership, because what's contained in the Urantia book is speaking to us as a planet among our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, and they name the number of populated planets there are. Not that far away from us. The Urantia book gets very specific, and as you know, in one of the chapters, it talks about a particular planet, and they said it's not that far from you on Earth, and they talk about what the planet is like, they describe it, and they describe what the government of that planet is.
Right,
and it's just a strike. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Urantia book. Anyhow, let's talk about creativity, because this is a subject that Michael, you certainly, and Hercules also very, very creative people here, and I've got a background also, and it's one of those subjects that I think is energizes me every single day of my life, and the creativity that luckily I was blessed with happened immediately when I was younger. I absolutely loved being creative, and it took place in writing. It took place in art, all kinds of art that I was doing and loving it. And it took place in shows, puppet shows, and other things on stage that I started taking part of. And it always was one of the, and still is, one of the high points of my life. I'm immersed right now in a couple of creative projects, which I'll talk about a little later. But I want to, Michael, start with your amazing creativity, and I want you to give us a little bit of background very briefly about your music background, and then what propelled you to write this beautiful new patriotic song. So please, Michael, go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you, Nick. That's really kind of you. Hey, so yeah, me too. You know, I was pretty creative from the beginning, early on, although I was in sports. I was a soccer player and a baseball player, and I actually went to college playing soccer, and I was going to head for a professional career in soccer, and I had some scouts looking at me, from some major universities, but I hyperextended my left ankle playing around with some guys one day before practice, you know, so that pretty much ended the career. But as a kid, when I was in second grade, I realized that I could sing because I would be in my dad's car, and he would play some, you know, different radio stations. And in my falsetto, I realized that I could sing and sound like Olivia Newton-John and, Olivia Newton-John and other singers, you know, like the Bee Gees. Of course, they sing in their falsettos. I could sing like the Bee Gees, you know, because I had a really light, voice and pretty strong falsetto at that time. Barbara Streisand, too, and Linda Ronstadt, you know, kind of the 70s type singers and all that. So I realized I could sing, but I was in sports mostly. My parents were really involved in sports. But fast forwarding then to college, like I was talking about, I was on a soccer team in my first year of college. I was also in a fraternity. So the guys in the fraternity were involved in a talent show. So they said, hey, you know, can you sing? Can you sing? And I said, oh, of course I can sing. So they asked me to be the lead singer for a little band that they got together for the talent show. So we did Born to Be Wild, you know, get your motor running, head out on the highway. You know that one?
Of course.
We did that one, and it was a pretty big success. And then the second year of college, at my first college, there was a talent show again, but I wasn't really involved with the fraternity too much. But there was a girl who was in a sister sorority to the fraternity, and she said, hey, you got to sing for the talent show. So I did, and I was driving down the freeway one day, and I said, oh, my gosh, what am I going to sing? And then all of a sudden, I turned on the radio, and Bridge Over Troubled Water was playing by Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I did Bridge Over Troubled Water.
And good for you, Michael.
And everybody really loved it, you know. I had to put it down a half step, though, because my voice really wasn't developed at that point, you know, to where my high notes were pretty strong. Because there's that A flat at the end that Garfunkel sings. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I had it down a half step, but it was great. My parents were there. My parents are CPAs, as a matter of fact. They're both accountants. They're not really into the arts too much, so it was kind of a new step for them to come see me sing. But then after the show, my mom came up to me and she said, "A star is born," and I thought, "Oh, that's great. That's the total you know, good omen that I needed." So then I transferred to my next school, which was the University of California, Irvine, and Yeah, and I went, instead of playing soccer there, I went into the School of Fine Arts. So I got a voice degree there, and I graduated with honors with a scholarship in vocal performance. And that was really a really fantastic time of creativity for me and singing. That's where I met my lovely wife, Diane, in 1991. But I had not really been too creative with the music, Nick. I was mostly singing and doing concerts. I mean, we went to...
Well, you were en route to that. You certainly were en route to the next step.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We went to England and sang for the Queen with our university choir. And we went to Asia and did choir tours. But as far as, like, writing music, I had never written music. But I did have an assignment. I had a writing assignment in my theory class. And I wrote a song to the lyrics of one of Jim Morrison's poems, you know, from The Doors, Jim Morrison.
Sure.
Yeah, and it was a pretty cool experience. But then I'll fast forward a little bit, and in 2011, then Diane and I got involved with the Urantia Book movement. And it was then that when we were studying the Urantia Book, Nick, that I started writing songs, you know. I was also involved in, I was the lead singer for a praise group at my church. You know, I had a paid gig as the lead singer for the praise group. And the songs I was singing, the contemporary Christian songs, really influenced me. I knew a lot of them, and they really influenced my future songwriting. So when we got involved with the Urantia Book, I started really writing songs. I set up a studio in my home. Lo and behold, we have 5 Urantia Book inspired song albums, and one of them
excellent.
Is one of them is America, Shining Beacon of Love and Peace.
Excellent! Wow, that's quite a trail of creativity, and you can see that one thing leads to the next, and that's how creativity works.
Yeah, and
so
I didn't,
introduce your
yeah,
song, and let's hear your Michael. Let's introduce your song, and we'll hear it, and then. But before that, tell us a little bit about what inspired you. Any particular event, or how did that happen to come to be this new song you wrote?
Okay, for this particular song, this is off of the album Urantia Book Songs of Love and Peace. I was really hitting hard on the love aspect. And of course, world peace. And this particular song, I don't know. At some time, we had a changeover. We had a new president in 2016, and you know, I was really jazzed about America at that time, and I started thinking about how brave the pilgrims were.
Oh boy, that's a story. Yeah.
Yeah, and how brave our forefathers were, and I noticed that they had something in common. What they had in common was that both of those groups were striving for spiritual freedom, liberty. The pilgrims from the tyranny of from the tyranny of England, of course, the religious tyranny of England, and then of course our forefathers from the tyranny of England, you know, during the time of the colonies. So I thought they were extremely brave, and I was really jazzed about America at that time. So I wrote the song just to show that I felt, and Diane and myself, my wife Diane and I also felt like America was about to, and we still feel this way, to branch out as a new voice crying out in the wilderness to bring a new level of spiritual liberty and love and peace to the world. So it's called America, Shining Beacon of Love and Peace.
Love to hear it. Hercules, if you're ready to go with that, let's take a listen to Michael's song.
Thank you.
new voice cries out in the wilderness and issues forth the proclamation that a brand new day of love and peace will come. A time of healing and renewal has begun. The integration of heart and mind toward true spiritual liberty and oneness in God.
Michael, oh my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful song.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. Thank you, Nick. Mm-hmm.
It was really the execution of that. The melody is so well executed, and it's such a uplifting. I have to say, it's an uplifting song. I can't imagine any American who would listen to the song and not feel elevated. It really lifts you high into the sky of love and pride of our beautiful country. Michael, you really did a service to America by composing this and performing this really amazing song. Congratulations.
Wow. Well, thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that. And I like there's an underlay at the bottom of three different voices going on. One voice is singing America, America, and then another voice comes in, God bless America. And then, you know, that repeats, and underneath it's going, land that I love. So it's land that I love, God bless America, mm-hmm. America, America. So I wanted to put in that God bless America there too.
Well, you really succeeded very, very much so on this song. And I can imagine at some point you're going to have a stadium of people, and that they're going to be singing, all of them in the stadium will be singing this song. I just have a feeling that's going to be in your future, and it's going to be a very, very high moment. It's a song that everyone can join in and sing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Nick. Yeah, I hope so. You know, someday, of course. That'd be a wonderful celebration, I think, you know. Just saying that, you know, America has been an inspiration for so many people. And what Diana and I are getting from our celestial friends and our celestial contacts is that America is going to be really a center to start a new movement for freedom and a new golden age.
Well, I agree with that. I think that is heading our way, and can't wait. Can't wait. But what we can do so much with music. We can move mountains with music and good lyrics. We can. And elevate the world. And that's the power, as you well know, of what music can do. Spiritual music, again, can uplift and make people feel as though that they can accomplish their goals. Yes, they can. With the help of God, they can do all that. And that's uplifting. And your music, that particular song, it seems very spiritual to me, too, because it's so uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Yeah, everything I do includes God, because, I mean, God is, you know, has created this beautiful grand universe and of course our planet, and I know that, you know, with the pilgrims and with the forefathers that God has really been involved there through the whole process for us, you know, and of course each of us has a personal relationship with God wherever we are, you know, but I think America is especially blessed with God's favor and God's attention. I really do.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely. Well, again, what a wonderful contribution to the musical American landscape to have that song now as part of our riches. It really is quite beautiful. I love the song.
Appreciate that.
I was born in Massachusetts. I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and my mother and father loved to go to historic places and show me and my sister the heritage of our country and, of course, New England, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, and that whole area.
Yeah.
So when we were kids, we got in the car and we would go. We would go and go to historic places, and of course we learned so much about the pilgrims, and we learned about the hardships and all they had to go through just to survive. They landed originally in Provincetown at the very, very tip of Massachusetts, but they ended up in Plymouth, and of course famous Plymouth Rock, and of course the rock is there. There's a monument around it so people can't chip, which they were doing, a piece of the Plymouth Rock.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, people are people, and they were doing that, so they built a monument around it to help protect it, but it's still very much there, and I'll tell you, when you see it, your heart will soar to think, my goodness, this is the rock that the pilgrims stepped on when they came on shore, and maybe 10 or 15 yards from that, there is this little brook. And when I went there, I saw this brook, and for some reason, it kind of spoke to me like this was something special. And most people would go right past it, but it was kind of in the little wooded area but there was something about it. And later I learned that that's where the pilgrims got their fresh water.
Oh, wow.
And it just somehow it drew me to that little place that nobody else was looking at, but there was something special about it. And so it was amazing that I found out the history of that little place.
Wow.
So my point is that I was brought up in New England, and they are so proud of their heritage and all that went on there, from Philadelphia to New York to Washington and so forth, and all the history that's there. I recommend it to anybody, whatever age, that this is a place that you in your life should definitely visit and go to the major historical monuments. One other quick story about Plymouth Rock is that one Thanksgiving a few years ago, my closest friend, John, said, "Would it be great if we could go to Plymouth Rock on Thanksgiving Day?" And I said,
"Well,
that's an amazing idea. Let's see if we can do that." We found a hotel very close to where the Plymouth Rock is. And so we booked it, and we took a bus there. And there we were on Thanksgiving morning. And it was rainy, a little bit rainy and cloudy, but we got up around 7, 8 o'clock, and we walked to Plymouth Rock, which is a very short distance. And when we got near it, I saw an Indian tent, a fairly large Indian tent, that was constructed right beside the monument of Plymouth Rock. And as I got closer, I started hearing a voice. It was a voice of an Indian, and he was chanting, "Hey, hey, 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 yeah, hey," like that. And I knew right away that that was a prayer that he was doing. And as I peered into the Indian tent, this man who wasn't Indian was dressed in total Indian garb with feathers, and he had an eagle feather, and he had something smoking in a dish, and he was blowing the eagle feather with the smoke out, and that was part of his prayer.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I stood there amazed at what I was seeing. There was nobody else around. And then after a few moments, he gazed at the entrance and saw me. And I just stood there and did a little nod on my head. And he looked at me like, what's going on? And I said to him, "May I join you in prayer?"
Oh, wow.
So he immediately knew that I understood what he was doing, and he said, "Yes, come in." So I did my prayers as he did his, and it was the high point of my Thanksgiving.
Wow, look at that.
It was an amazing moment. So anyhow, my point of telling you this is that I've been very much immersed in American history, and it's a rewarding, an amazing journey when you really know what was going on and all the roller coaster rides that our forefathers went on. Life and death roller coaster journeys to get to where they needed to go.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to bring us to about a year ago when I started hearing people say, in one case, "I don't know if I can wear my sweater out anymore because it has a big American flag on it."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why would you say that? And the idea was that somebody might criticize me for wearing my sweater with a big American flag on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that couldn't be any more horrible to think that. You're in America. Be proud of that sweater and the American flag, and you go ahead and wear it. But there was a little bit of sentiment that maybe we should tone down our pride in our country. And I really thought about that, and I didn't agree with that at all. And, Michael, that was the reason I wrote the song that I wrote, "We'll Stand Up for America," because how could we not stand up for this amazing, amazing, beautiful country we have? So much to be proud of, as you well know. Many gifts have been given to us by being Americans. I mean, yes, the country has done some things that need to be rethought of. Some of the roads we took weren't correct, but on such a huge scale, any country would have points in their life that could be better. And we admit that. But all together, we have a huge amount to be proud of. So we'll stand up for America. I wrote that, and I wrote that as a rock song. Now, I don't sing rock.
That's a great song. I love it.
Well,
got a good beat.
Thank you.
Totally.
And I thought I wanted to work with a studio that would understand my style. So I did find, after looking a long time, the right studio. And I said to the studio people, this is the kind of singer I want. And I actually sang in my own voice, trying to sing it like the rock style that it was created. And they said, we'll look and see if we can find the right singer. And they did. They found an amazing gentleman who had the whole rock, David Bowie, that kind of a rock persona about his voice. And the moment I heard it, I said, this is the guy. That's the guy. Let's get him for this song. And so he rehearsed it. They sent me a rough of it. I made some corrections. And then we went to record it. And the final recording, there was something on it that I wanted to put in. And what it was the beginning and the end of this rock song. I wanted it to give a bow to our forefathers with the drum and the bugles and the fife. And so I asked my dear, talented friend who really loves music. He's a composer himself. And Tom Garber is his name, a wonderful gentleman. And I said, Tom, could you take Yankee Doodle Dandy and put it in music form of like 10 seconds at the beginning and at the end of the song? And he said, well, I'll give it a try. And he went to his own studio
and he
produced the perfect beginning and the end to my rock song. So
it starts off in
1776. Version, the musical version, then it goes to a 2022 rock, and then at the end it goes back to 1776. So Hercules, if you're ready, let's give that a whirl.
Stand up.
There you have it.
I like the guitar hit at the end. That's fabulous.
They did a great, great job. They really did.
Nice.
And I love working
nice
with that
production.
Studio. I want to work again.
Yeah, nice production there. Hey, and the word liberty really came out for me in your song, too.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course. And, you know, I just wanted to just interject that the reason that I wanted Yankee Doodle at the beginning and the end of my new rock song there is because of the history of that song. And what happened was that the English had come up with that song as
a
ridicule.
Yeah, that was the English song. Right.
As a ridicule of the Americans. The Americans were farmers who had muskets. They didn't have uniforms. They were fighting as best they could. And, of course, the British had beautiful uniforms. They had the best equipment. And so they were making fun of the American army, so to speak.
Right.
And so Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, put a feather in his hat, and called it macaroni, was a put-down of making buffoons musically of the Americans. And the Americans heard that and were very upset with that song. But when a big battle took place and the Americans were outnumbered by the British, but they won the battle. They won the battle because of their marksmanship, and the British soldiers began to run away from the Americans. And when that happened, guess what the Americans sang in as loud a voice as they could?
The song
that they were being mocked, Yankee Doodle Dandy, as a way of saying, see?
And the last verse is, there was Captain Washington upon a slapping stallion, giving orders to his men. There must have been a million. they overwhelmed them. They overwhelmed them with their fervor, with their dedication to the ideal of true spiritual liberty.
Thank you, Michael, for that. And absolutely true. So when I heard that, I said, that has got to be the beginning and the end of my rock song about America. So that's the reason for that. And again, Tom Garber did an amazing job of creating that in his studio.
That makes
and
sense.
Then we put it on the beginning and the end of the song, the rock song.
Yeah.
So that's what
took
place.
Absolutely. That's a great choice. Yeah, the Yankee Doodle mocking and then, inserting that. Fantastic.
So yeah, it really kind of came together. And it was, again, creativity. We're talking about creativity. And, again, when you're on the road, as you well know, Michael, to creativity, one thing leads to the next. And it propels you onto the next level of being creative and doing something in many different fields. It could be music, it could be art, or it could be poetry, or many other creative places where you could do, so where you could go and try to create something of your own, something original.
Yeah.
And as you know, one thing leads to the next. And I always tell people, even if you're a gifted painter, try poetry, or if you write songs, try painting, because the same creative energy.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I forgot to tell you, Nick. In my creative journey, you know how I was mentioning that. After I met Diane, I've mentioned this before. After I met Diane, we started getting into a lot of different spiritual studies and spiritual pursuits. But as a kid, I was also writing poetry. And when I met Diane, something sparked within me, some avenue opened up for me to really start writing poetry. And I actually have a book of poetry that I wrote, and I dedicated it to her. It's called Dreams of Amon, since my first name is Amon. And Diane had dreams of me before she met me as Amon. I wrote this book of poems called Dreams of Amon. So one thing leads to another, Nick. That book of poems really set me up to be able to write poems and lyrics for my eventual songs.
Love that story. Love that story. It makes perfect sense, too. And then you also, on your creative journey, you go from one area to another area. And I think that that's very, very exciting. And I think that people shouldn't be afraid to try different areas of creativity during their lives, to try something new.
And I want to tell you something too, Nick, that's really interesting. As we speak, you know, talked about the Urantia book, and Diane and I have had some contacts with Lord Maitreya, whom in the Urantia book we made a connection that he's a magisterial son on a magisterial mission. But we had been involved with Maitreya Great Tao organization. It's an Oriental spiritual tradition. And just recently, one of the songs I wrote about Maitreya, him being the magisterial son, was I just sent it about a week or so ago to our friend in Maitreya Great Tao, who works at one of the big Tao temples out here in California. And I remixed it a little bit. I added some strings and some vocal harmonies, and she sent it to the grandmaster of the Tao in Taiwan, who's the female leader over the Tao in 68 countries throughout the world. So they want to do some musical and creative projects with us now. And actually, they're coming over next week. This temple master is going to meet with us. And we're going to start doing some music together. So, like, one thing, the Urantia book songs have led to this now collaboration with Maitreya Great Tao. And, of course, they're all about God and Maitreya transforming our global culture into a more harmonious, peaceful, compassionate people and bringing about a new paradise on Earth. So it fits perfectly.
Oh, I'm so delighted to hear that. That's wonderful news, really.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
very exciting for
yeah.
both you and Diane. Oh, congratulations again. Really,
yeah.
amazing
Thanks.
Stuff.
And Diane's
and a lot more to come.
Yeah, and Diane's going to do some artistic projects with them too.
That's amazing. Now, before we get too far into the program, because we have a limited time now, Michael, tell the listeners how they can contact you if they have a question or a comment.
Oh, sure, Nick. Yeah. We have, Diane and I, we have a YouTube channel. It's called Michael and Diane Duncan. That's two N's for Diane and D-U-N-K-I-N, like Dunkin' Donuts, Michael and Diane Duncan. We have over 114 videos of our team meetings, celestial team meetings, some with Maitreya, songs and artwork on there. And also, if you search Reverend Michael Duncan on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, you'll see our 5 Urantia book-inspired albums. Our email is michaelduncan1@hotmail.com. And just to throw something in here really quick, Diane gave me a note. Erected at Heliopolis, red granite from Egypt in 1475 BC by Thutmose III, was one of Cleopatra's needles carried to Alexandria in 14 BC under Augustine, sent to England later in 1878 and then the U.S. 1880. And
thank you, Diane, for that. Really wonderful.
And one of them is the one in Central Park.
Yes.
The 69.5-inch one.
It's gorgeous. It's huge. I'm looking at it right now. It's towering in the sky, and it's so interesting that there is a star directly over Cleopatra's needle at the very tip, at the very top of it, and there's this one star in the sky right there. That's so interesting.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I wish you guys good luck tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. And let me see. If anybody has a question or a comment, they can reach me at my email address. I'm going to give you that, too. And that is nicknyny1. And that's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, but the numeral 1 at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it. nicknyny1. at gmail.com. And we'd be very happy to answer or your question or your comments, for sure. So, Michael, well, Hercules, how much time do we have now? I know we're getting close to the end.
You have around 6 minutes, 6-7 minutes.
About 6 minutes left. So within a couple of minutes, Michael, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share about encouraging people to be creative in their life?
Yeah, you know, and first of all, Nick, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's a real joy, and I just love creating music, and especially when it's connected with messages or themes from God and our celestials, and peace and love and all those good uplifting concepts. But Diane is also a singer and an artist, and she says hi. And of course,
much love to you, Diane.
Yeah,
much love.
Much love. And Nick, Alex is here, and Alex says hi, and he's very, very creative, writing stories and developing characters and delving into surrealism and delving into, you know, mysteries of the unexplained. He really loves the UFO phenomenon also.
Absolutely, yes.
But I would just say to all the people out there, if you're listening and you're thinking of writing a song, being creative, getting involved in an industry, I would say I would really love for you to include God, to include angels, to include the celestials, gods and goddesses, uplifting themes, so you can really contribute to our world. There are some people that do things, you know, for selfish reasons, and they put out maybe bad messages. They influence people to maybe give in to their lower nature, selfish desires. I would say please think about the higher. Think about the celestial and the higher concepts to share your talents with the world.
Michael, that's excellent, excellent advice. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, I gotta say that my most treasured presents that I've received for Christmas or for my birthday or whatever have always been handmade art or a poem or a drawing that somebody has taken some time to put together as a present. And I would much rather a present like that, a creative effort that someone does, than any other kind of store-bought presents. They mean so much more. And of course, you know, creativity could even go into baking and other things that you could give somebody as a little present that you're giving to them for whatever occasion it is. So I'm encouraging people to use that creativity for making presents for your loved ones, your relatives, and your friends. That would be a treasured gift, and I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. You got it, Nick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, so we're ending the program. Michael, I thank you so much for your amazing talents and for sharing your insights with us tonight. And I look forward very much to doing another show with you and Diane at some point. And I'm going to say to all our listeners, thank you so much for listening in. And use your creativity in wonderful ways. You'll be surprised at what can happen in your life by going into the creative process. And Hercules, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Would you like to close with Michael's song again?
We'd love to do that, yes.
Okay. All right, America.
Thanks to both of you. This was an awesome show, and I look forward to our next one.
All right. Thanks, Hercules. Thank you, Nick. God bless America.
God bless America. Love to everyone out there. Much love.
Right. You too.
Cries out in the wilderness and issues forth the proclamation that a brand new day of love and peace will come. A time of healing and renewal has begun. The integration of heart and mind toward true spiritual liberty and oneness in God.
God's love and peace for all.